crazy about learning to play that fiddle. And she'd heard that my grandfather was an old-time fiddler. So she came down to that bar and waited for them. She knew when they'd be back, about what time they'd be along. I knew they always stopped there and cooked and ate. And she was there waiting on them when they got there to the bar where she was there and had this fiddle. And she told my grandfather, she said, "I've heard that you can play a fiddle." He said, "Yes, I'll play a little bit." And she said, "Well, would you show me how to tune this thing and play a few pieces for me?" And he told her he would. So while the boys were getting everything ready, why, he tuned the fiddle up and played there for the young lady. And so they got their lunch ready there and ate. And my grandfather got done before the rest of them did. And she told him she'd like for him to play some more, so he did. And so when he told him to get the stuff back in the boat and get ready to take off. So when they did, well, I got ready to take off, she said, "Won't you just play one more tune for me before you leave?" So he played the Girl Left Behind Me.
Mm-hmm.
And when he played that, she seemed to like that a little bit better than she had the other tunes that he played. And she said, "Mr. Carpenter, what was that tune?" And he said, "That's the Pretty Little Girl I Left Behind Me," and handed her the fiddle, and they was ready to push off, so they pushed off, took off up the river with the boat. Said he got away up the river in good ways, and they looked back, and said she was standing down there on the bar with the fiddle, and crying, just crying.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know what he's talking about when he says a pike?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I do.
Must be.
Yeah.
Ernie, what about, I've heard people talk about blue pike.
Yeah.
Now, is that a different fish?
No, that was a blue pike that I was talking about.
I mean, it's a muskie.
Yeah.
Same as a muskie.
When the Game Commission, they didn't have such a thing back then, but when the Game Commission come along, you know, well, they had to be a little bit more proper, a little bit more stylish, you know, so they called them muskies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where they got that muskie name, I don't know. But they were blue pikes. That was the original name. And that's what they called them when my grandfather was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he called them when he died.
The fish they still catch a lot of down here.
Well, they catch. I expect most of catching down here is carp.
No, but they also fish for the
bass. They fish for
bass and. Walleyes.
Walleye.
Did they always call them walleyes?
Well, not always, no. They
they have another name?
Yeah, that they call them jackpike.
Jackpike.
Jackpike, that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, they have to get stylish about it. They call them walleye.
Okay.
Jackpike. I call them jackpike.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Would they go up the river pretty far before the dam was built?
What,
the jackpike?
Oh, yes. Because
I know they run up.
Yeah, they caught jackpike all from in Elk River from one end of it to the other end. Trip back to the head of the river, they caught jackpike and blue pike also, muskie, the game book calls them. And, there was a stretch of water about a mile and a half, or maybe a little bit farther, up Elk River, above our old home place. It was a little ways there, through there, in that area where the fellow grounded on the gunnels that I was telling you about,
mm-hmm.
in that area. And that seemed to be an exceptionally good jackpike area. There seemed to be more pikes through there, a stretch there of about a whole mile and a half long, that the water was rough, and there's a lot of big rocks in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to be a better section for jackpike than any strip of water on the river that the fishermen knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And an awful lot of jackpike was caught in there. And we'd go gigging at night, fishing up a big ball of great big ball, bigger than a football, out of rags, soaked that with oil, kerosene, lamp oil, whatever you want to call it, soaked that with that. And when you lit it, well, my gosh, it made a light like a braceheap. And you put that on in your boat on a rod, steel rod had run out, you know. Mm-hmm. You had to, because you had to have something that wouldn't burn off, you know.
Yeah.
And you lit that thing, and oh, you could see, well, you could take a strip of water, and you could see on each side of it for, oh, 8 or 10 feet maybe on each side of it. You could see fish.
Mm-hmm.
And two guys with gigs went on each side of the boat. And we'd fix it up on them. I went out. I heard my father tell about killing a washtub full of fish. Well, I thought, now, my God, I wonder what he was drinking when they measured them fish. But one night we went out down on the river and fixed up a torch and went out down on the river. We went around, circled through the eddy. The eddy were, we call them eddies, the still water between the rough water between the shoals. And we went, it was just about a mile long. And we made one circle around that thing, landed out the boat landing. And Dad said, well, we'll get something to pick up in fish. And Marco Morton, that had the, he's dead now, Morton Farm up there. Marco was with us. And Dad said, you better get them fish. And somebody said, well, what are you going to put them in? I said, oh, I don't know. You get a bucket or string them up. And so it was a little wash tub sitting there on the bank. I picked up that wash tub and I said, throw them in here. They threw them in there, the fish was sliding out over the top, that wash tub that they had in that boat where they gave. We two of us carried them up to the house and set them on the porch. And Dad told Marco, he said, now you pick out what you want. He said, we're here where we can get them to speak anytime I want them. No, he said, I won't do that. Mm. No, he said, you just give me some of them there smallest ones. He said, them's all right for me. And they had one jackpike, as he yelled. And it was about, it would have weighed 8 or 10 pounds, I suppose, something like that. And Dad said, well, Marco, if it's all right with you, he said, I'll just take the jackpike and you take the rest of them. Oh, I said, my God, he said, I ain't got no way getting them home, only carry them. He said, I couldn't. Well, Dad said, take what you can carry. So he did. He strung up what he could carry. He said, you and I have the jackpike. He said, I'd just leave out these red horse and suckers there as to have the jackpike. And so Dad had, he cleaned up the jackpike.
Do you like to eat red horse?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the spring?
Yeah, they're good fish.
Yeah.
What's that?
Really, a sucker is a...
It's a kind of a sucker, but they run in the spring, and they're good to eat.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They're a species of the regular sucker. Mm-hmm. Or they have red fins and a red tail, and the regular sucker don't have.
Yeah,
I know. And I don't know where they got the horse business, but they call them red horse. Every fisherman, the older fishermen anyway, they, you mentioned red horse, they know what you're talking about. And they're not near as bony as the sucker. They're a fine fish. And they get big. They had one that they, the fishermen all was trying to get it, that I think maybe I mentioned it a while ago, that was up at Stony Creek, in what they call the Stony Creek Shoulder. And they tried for every fisherman on the river, knowed that, saw that fish. He'd go down in the, it was a deep hole of water there about halfway through the Stony Creek Shoulder. And this hole of water there, I suppose, maybe was covered probably an acre or something like that, acre space, you know, and was very deep. Proper big rock, bigger than his house, or about the size of his house, I expect, right in the middle of the river, and this big hole, deep hole of water right in below that. And that's where that thing stayed. And he'd go feed down in the shallow water, get down in the shallow water where he could catch stuff, you know, craw crabs and stuff. And he'd feed down in that shallow water. And if he was coming down the river, a lot of them would go up and they'd wait for him. They knew about what time of the evening, you know, he'd feed. And they'd wait for him to get down in that shallow water where they could get down out of the deep water and catch him in the shallow water where they thought they could trap him. Mm-hmm. And gig him, you know. And back at that time, they did a lot of gigging. Mm-hmm. But they never, somebody got close enough to him to just glaze him down along the side of the face. And that made a white place. And a lot of them called him Blaze Face. They'd give him a nickname, Blaze Face. Anybody go up there fishing and come back and be talking to somebody I know about it and say, well, did you see old Blaze Face today? No, I didn't see him today. Maybe the next fellow come along, he'd saw him. But they tried every way to catch that fish for years there. And I never did hear of anybody ever getting it. I suppose he died with old age.
When is it that the Red Horse run? Is it the first new moon in May or something about then? Or?
Yeah, first light moon in May they spawn, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
They don't have them up around Elvis, I don't think. I've never heard of them. Mm-hmm. Big carp, catfish. Boy, they put in them dams up there, flood control. Fields would flood out up there, and the carp went by that Tiger Trolley River, and then the water would go down, and the loads would just go out there. I went out there many times, just cut you a big pole, a big sapling, and put a point on it, and make a barb like a fair, and you just go out there and get them as you wanted. And they just
them carp, our carp we had there in the river, if you got one that wasn't too awful big, and they had a our carp we had, Jerry's got a, they call them the German carp. Now they got the German carp and they got the, what they call the silver carp. That one they call the silver carp don't get near as big as the, mm-hmm. as the other carp. And their scales on them is a, just looks like silver. That's how they got the name silver carp. But these big German carp, they've got a streak down each side that's darker meat than the rest of it. And that is strong. It took the old fishermen some time to discover it, but they didn't fool with them because they were strong. They didn't like them. They didn't even fish for them. And somebody found out that streak they'd just been cleaning the mill like he did other fish. But somebody, somehow or other, discovered that dark streak down that side was what was making the carp strong. If you took that out, he was just as good a meat as any other fish. So from that time on, why?
I've heard people speak of yupine suckers.
Yeah, that was a kind of a light colored sucker, and it didn't get near as big as the regular.
Is that the one that's got some streaks on its side or something?
Yeah, kind of a yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't get too big.
Yeah.
They don't get anywhere near the.
And regular, they kind of lay real still.
Yeah, the regular old sucker, he gets pretty good size. Yeah. And that red horse, what they call a red horse, it's a sucker's species, only it's, they're not as bony as a sucker, and they get so much bigger. My God, them red horse, they've caught them that can weigh up to 15, 20 pounds.
Is that
right? Yeah. My God, they'd have a tail, you know, like a scrub broom.
Most of the bass be smallmouth.
Hmm?
Most of the bass would be smallmouth. I know. No. I was fishing down on Elk River, the river with Tom King about a month ago. We caught smallmouth, largemouth, and goggle eyes, you know, the rock bass, all right out of the same pool. Were they always like that? Or was there always, were they mostly smallmouth or what?
No, you catch them like that. They stay in the same water together and, you might go out where you're just fishing, maybe off of a rock or off of a log, and maybe you catch one with a small mouth, maybe the next thing you catch is a large mouth and so on. Maybe the next thing you catch is a sunfish. Now you won't hardly ever catch a catfish in the daytime. You can catch them late of an evening, along about dusk or dark, while they'll start biting. But they do the most of their feeding at night.
Yeah.
Bass and pike, they, of course, feed in the daytime.
Well, we better think about getting out of here.
You're the director.
Don't you boys be restored?
Fix some supper here directly.
Lizard or combination, I can't think what to call it. Ugly looking thing.
Water
dog, is that what it was?
You're not thinking.
Yeah, legs on and stuff. Do you have them
like
down here too?
Water dog?
Yeah, water dog.
Four legs. We always called them
alligators.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I always say.
Water dog's right. I don't know why it didn't come to mind. I could see it, but I couldn't remember what we called the thing.
My grandfather would set a trot line and he'd go to it the next morning. Maybe he'd have a half a dozen of them daggone water dogs, and maybe we'll have two or three good fish, you know.
And we got another thing, the eel.
Yeah.
We got the eel. The snake.
Up home, too, as you guys talk about suckers, but what they call chubs. You know, you got the same as something different, or you know what I'm talking about?
Chubs are little, right?
Yeah, bitty thing, yeah. And when you trout fish, you get them an awful lot.
Well, a sucker, or fish that we call suckers, gets to be a pretty good size.
Yeah, we got those. There's those up there too.
We have what they call a red horse.
Yeah, he's talking about chubs, honey, little fish.
Yeah. But now the suckers you'll get like the Tigris Valley River and stuff like that. You won't generally find those like in Cheat, but in Cheat you'll find chubs, you know, or at least that used to be the way it was.
In our streams of water around, especially Elk River, in the fall of the year, suckers would get in a old time used to call schools of suckers. You'd run into a bunch of them that maybe a space bigger than this house, the bottom of the river would be completely covered with them.
Uh-huh.
They'd get together, you know. They called it schools, the old timers did.
Yeah.
School of suckers. That's why I live in the final school of suckers. And they'd take their gigs and get in them boats and they'd come back with the mess fish. Them old timers would throw a gig and force me out the kitchen door and kill fish.
Make one comment here. I know we got to go, but you was telling that story about that big catfish and how big it was, and it reminded me of reading. I never seen him up there, but reading a sturgeon up there in the Pacific Northwest in the Columbia River. And years ago, those fish, I mean, they got up to hundreds of pounds, and what they would do with those things, they'd catch them, and when they caught them, and then somebody would either get out of the boat down in the water with that fish. Once they got it up there, they got tired, and they'd run a rope through his gill. And that's the way they get those things. You know, you obviously couldn't get in the boat, you sank the boat. But someone would get down there and stick their hand up through the mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm not too sure I'd want to do that with a fish that big.
No, my God, fish that big.
Yeah, you know, but they'd wear that fish down and wear it down to where they, you know, it was just about tuckered out or give out. And then they'd get a great big rope and run that rope up through the gill and tie it off and tie that to the back of the boat. Now, what they also read, and I heard some old timers up there telling too, that they would take and stretch the river where they, you know, you can bank fish for those things. And they'd bring a team of horses and mules down there, and they had 55-gallon drums, and they'd have some type of a quick disconnect, a yoke set up. I don't know exactly how the mechanics of it was, but they'd fish with whatever big lines. But once they'd get one hook, they knew it was, and they could take that team of horses and something, a mule or whatever, and hook into the fish line. And they'd claim that's about it. Well, I guess you'd have to. The fish weighs 200 or 300 pounds. They'd take them, get them out of the river.
With that big catfish that your grandfather caught, would that be what they call a channel cat?
No, it was a mud cat.
It was a mud cat.
Mud cat. The one that's got the flat head.
Uh-huh.
The mud cat. The channel cat don't get that big.
Uh-huh.
Neither does the blue cat. The blue cat gets bigger than the channel cat.
Blue cat.
Yeah, but the blue cat gets pretty good size. I think the biggest one that they know of being caught, blue cat and mud cat, or grandfather caught them.
Yeah.
That mud cat was, I forget what the measure of that thing was now, and he caught a blue cat that was something 40-some inches. Get what it was.
You know where he caught it?
I think, I'm not sure, but I think he caught it up the river there. Well, if you're going to measure the distance, say, from the boat dock down here, it would be about 2 miles up Elk River, up a little above where the Stony Creek empties into the river.
Did you or did any of your people ever fish in the birch, the lower birch?
No, I don't. I never did preaching. I don't know of any of the family ever preaching there.
There's some pretty big holes down in the lower end of it.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good fish hole in there.
Yeah.
They spawning time now. I went to two or three different times where Wolf Creek comes down through there, you know. Of course, you couldn't tell much about Wolf Creek because the dam water backs up, took some of the Wolf Creek. But when it was, I think, in last April or the 1st of May, I believe, long in there sometime, is when they spawn. When they go in the shoals, you know, and up in the little tributaries that comes in the Elk River and spawn. And we used to get down there to Wolf Creek, and there were some pretty good-sized holes of water along up Wolf Creek there for the first mile or so up Wolf Creek from the river. And we used to get down there in spawning time. And my God, you could take a club and kill them. Sucker, they'd be in that water there where the fins would be sticking out of the water where they'd go up in there and spawn, you know. And we used to have a ball that went down there spawning time and gigging them suckers. And we'd get down there and get a string of them.
Well, I guess we ought to pack this stuff up.
Boys, I'm awful glad you fellas.